gotta go.
There'll be peace.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we thank you now in the name of Jesus. We praise you, for you are worthy to be praised, honored, and adored. Lord, we ask that you touch our hearts and minds, touch our spirits, that we may receive a word from you, that we might do your will. Father, that you may move on us, that we may be ever changed, ever strengthened. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you look on every heart, every mind, every spirit, every soul that's under the sound of my voice in this place today, that, Father, that you would give them what they need. Father, for your word said that you'll supply all I need according to your riches and glory. And I thank you, God. I thank you for your word that strengthens and sustains us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us and gives us the things that belong to you. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, that cures us, that covers us, and that connects us to you. We thank you, God. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for your tender mercies that were new to us this morning when we rose from our sleep. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that when the church prayed that you answer and that you would heal and that you would deliver, that you would bless our lives. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you for salvation for those that are here and deliverance and peace. We thank you, God. Lord God, we believe that you're going to do some things in this service, Lord, that we haven't seen in a while. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, I pray you give me precision of speech and clarity of thought, and that, Lord, let the hearers receive and be interjected with strength and faith from the words that are spoken today. And Father, we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy, God. You're holy, God. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. In the name of Jesus, we glorify and praise your holy name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag, or a topic. The reason we war. Subtitle, the fight of your life. The fight of your life. Nothing, amen. In other words, here it is. We got to fight with the traitor on the inside of us. The one who would trade lust, love for lust. Come on and say amen here. The one, the traitor that will trade fear for faith. Come on and say amen. We got that Canaanite that's still in our flesh that we got to get rid of. And all he's about is material things. And so whatever he got to trade to get it, that's what he's going to trade to get it. Come on and say amen here. Then he said the Sidonians. And the Sidonians, that word means a hunter. In other words, we have to satisfy our animalistic hunger. Oh, come on and say amen. Now, we got an animalistic nature, a craving that we just got to satisfy. We don't care what it take, and if it take shedding blood, if it take killing something, if it take running somebody down, we got to satisfy that hunger, that thirst for it. Amen. Come on and say hallelujah. And so he said, you got that in your members. You got that in the land where you live. Come on and say hallelujah. He said, not only do I have the Sidonians and the Canaanites. And he said, but I got the Hittites. And what the Hittites mean, the Hittites here, it means a terrorist. I got those that make the things that make me live in fear. I'm fearful that one day my blood pressure gonna go so high that I'm gonna stroke out. I'm fearful that I might contract some type of disease. I'm fearful of cancer. I'm fearful of Alzheimer's. I'm fearful of all this stuff that could happen in my land. I wish I had somebody. And so you got those Hittites that are living there. Amen. And so when he start talking about all of this, he said, you got those, not only those Hivites, but the Hittites, but the Hivites in verse 3. And what that means, that means the villagers, those who are tribal. I just do what everybody else do. If they put a bone in their nose, I put one in mine too. I don't really know. I just follow whoever. I just do what everybody else do. And the thing about the Hivites is that they were living near Mount Hermon, and they lived in a village, but the place of Mount Hermon represents the place of the blessing, where God commanded the blessing. And instead of them going to the blessing, they just rather stay in the village with everybody else. And so we got that in us. We sometimes belittle ourselves, and we can't see ourselves having the blessing. We doubt ourselves about getting what God has in store for us. We doubt ourselves about coming into unity with others so that we can have victory in this life. I wish I had somebody. That's what Psalm 133 reading. He said that there is where the Lord commanded the blessing. He said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment. It's like the oil that flowed from the hair, even down to the beard and upon the skirts of Aaron, the priesthood. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that some of us are just like the Hivites. We live in the place where the anointing flows, but we won't get under the anointing. We live nearby the place where God command the blessing, but we won't go to the blessing. We doubt and we fear, and we won't take the next step because ain't nobody in my village taking that step. So we'll just hang out right here because I'm satisfied with the little bit I got. I'm satisfied with not taking a step of faith. I'm satisfied without taking a leap of faith. Do I have anybody to say, I'm tired of being a Hivite, and I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm going to become all that God wants me to be? I hope I help somebody today. Lord have mercy. I'm just trying to give you a picture here, trying to show you the shadow, what God is saying to us. He says in verse 4, they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. I like that. You know why? Because if God commanded, that means his commands didn't change. He said, I gave them to the fathers, and I want the sons to do it. I gave them to the fathers and the mothers. I want the daughters to do it. Amen. And what we find today is that people are saying that God changes his mind about stuff. But the Bible said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to all those preachers who are saying that God changes his mind about certain things, I want to tell them that they are a lie and the truth is not in them. Amen. So when they played it on the radio, they can hear it. When you start saying that God don't believe, that I don't believe God mean this or God meant that, God said what he meant and he meant what he said. It ain't nothing that we can do to change it. Amen. So we need to stand on what God has said. He said, but I wanted them, God said, I wanted to leave them in the land so that they might understand, be proven, so that they would obey the commands of the Father. Amen? And so when God left these enemies in the land, it was for us to get messed up sometimes so we'd have to go back to him. Because he knew if it got too good, we would walk away from him. He knew that if we got too blessed, then we would forget about him. That's why we holler, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Well, you know what? Sometimes a little bit of stress will bring us back to God. Amen. Have mercy here, Jesus. I'm all right with that. Amen. You can say you're too blessed to be stressed, but sometimes you're going to get stressed. And that's the truth. Sometimes you're going to have some pain. That's the truth. Sometimes you're going to have disappointment. That's the truth. Sometimes people are going to lie on you, talk about you. All of this. Jesus said if they did it in the green tree, what are you expecting to do in the dry tree? He said that you are not greater. The servant is not greater than the master. And so if they put the master through trouble, if they lied on Jesus, they're going to lie on you. Stop crying about what they say. Let them talk all they want. The more they talk, the more people wanted to see who Jesus was. So the more they talk about you, the more you show them who Jesus is on the inside of you. The more they lie on you, you just show them that ain't me. This is Jesus that's living on the inside of me, the hope of glory. I wish I had a few people that said, I've been through some stuff. They broke my heart, but that's all right. I'm still here. I've been through some hard times, but that's all right. I'm still here. But better yet, after all I've been through, I still have joy. Do I have anybody here to say I still have joy? I got joy even though I had some heartache. I got joy even though I had some pain. I got joy even though I didn't have a dime in my pocket. I still had joy. You can't take that from me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it. That's why we got to have the joy of the Lord to be our strength. Because if the joy is our strength, then everything else that we lose won't affect us like they thought it would. You may try to take what I have, but I still have joy. You might attack me in my body, but I still have joy. You might attack my relationships, but I still have joy. You attack my family, but I got some joy, so I'm strong enough now to defeat you. I'm strong enough to pray. I'm strong enough to praise. I'm strong enough to lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Praise his name. Is he all right in this place today? I'm in the fight of my life. Tell somebody, I'm in the fight of my life. I'm in the fight of my life. And so I don't have time to patty cake. I don't have time to play games. I don't have time for fake people and fake things. I got to get with the real stuff. I need some real prayer warriors. I need some real church folk. I need some real saints that's going to praise God with me. Not those make-believe saints. Now, I'm going to make you believe I'm right and real. No, I need somebody that's already right. I need somebody that's been changed from the inside. Somebody that's like-minded. That say, I'm not perfect, but I do believe I can get a prayer through. Somebody that say, I've been messed up, but I don't mind praising God. Somebody that say, I'm through some hard things, but I'm not worried about what I've been through. I still have joy, and I'm going to praise him. I'm looking for somebody. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Y'all got to let me finish here. Let me get to the end of this. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not trading my good for evil. I'm not trading my love for lust. I'm not trading my faith for fear. But I'm going to stand on the word. But he goes on in verse 5, and he said, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites. Remember, I told you what the Canaanite was. I told you the Hittite was the terrorist. They dwelt among those that brought fear on them. And you know, we fear people sometimes, but God said, don't fear people. He said, fear God, who's able to destroy soul and body. I wish I had somebody. Stop fearing what people can do to you and what going to happen to you. You just keep on doing what God wants you to do. And let me tell you something. You'll outlive the lies. You'll outlive the trouble. You'll outlive the mess, the stress, the pain. You can outlive that stuff. You can outlive it. It'll be in your past. And you know what you need to do with your past, right? You need to do what God does for it. He forgets it. Oh, I wish I had some. He said, Paul said, the one thing I do, if you don't do nothing else, tell somebody, if you don't do nothing else, this one thing, forget which things are behind you and reach forward to what is before you and press toward the prize for the higher call that's in Christ Jesus. He says that the Hittites and the Amorites and The Amorites are also some villagers. Amen. The Amorites are also villagers, but not only are they villagers, but they live on the mountain. They mountaineers. In other words, when things on the mountain going good, they all happy. They brag and they boast. They say a lot. Come on and say amen now. The Amorite, they talk a lot. They got so much to say, and they got something to say about everything and everybody. Do anybody see any Amorites? Do you have any Amorites in your life that they just always got their mouth open? Amen. Always got something to say. And you got to be careful. If you're an Amorite, you got to be careful, because the more you talk, the more you talk yourself into some kind of trouble, because the Bible said that you are snared by the words of your mouth. Oh, come on and say amen. So if you want to get caught up, don't get caught up on something that you done said. Amen. He said the Amorites. And so he says, and the Perizzite, which is also a village, and the Hivite, and we know that they are the terrorists. But we look at this, the word Jebusite. Now, the word Jebusite, the Jebusites are the ones who actually had Jerusalem before David went in and whipped them and put them out of there. They actually had Jerusalem. They actually had the place where God intended for them to worship. So here it is, the Jebusites, they had possession of it, but then they got defeated, and then it became the holy place of worship. Now, what does it mean when they say Jebusite? The Jebusite are it's the trotters. They are the ones that want to walk on you. They want to tread on you. And they walk all over you. They treat you like a doormat, and you're just beneath them. Amen. And sometimes we walk on ourselves because we won't let ourselves be what God wants us to be before the old self starts stepping on it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You start walking yourself down, your own self. Ain't nobody got to talk you out of your blessing. You're going to talk yourself out of it. You're going to mess your own self up because you don't believe in God in you. He can do exceeding and abundantly and above all we can ask or think according to the what? Power that works in us. Amen. Amen. So he said, I left him there so that you'll pray. Let's say this. He said, and he took their daughters. And they took their daughters to be their wives. And they gave their daughters to their sons and served other gods. Look at what they did. They decided, you know what? We're just going to make a truce with them. We just going to cooperate with them. And sometimes we cooperate with our five senses. Sometimes we cooperate with the enemies that are in our flesh that's left there. Sometimes we have a carnal mind, which is an enemy to God, which is a rebel against the things of God. And matter of fact, the Bible said a carnal mind brings death. Amen? And so we make a deal with all of this so that we can have some peace. That's what we call it. So that we can be blessed. That's what we think. But in reality, we don't have anything because those same ones that are enemies, they're not only there to oppose us, but they're there to steal from us. Yeah. The Bible said that the enemy come to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so why do we treat the enemy with welcoming arms in our life? We need to put it down. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the what? Pulling down. This is a stronghold. This is stuff that's been there for a long time. I need to put it to death. We talked about that on Thursday. Mortify. Put it to death. Crucify that flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 7 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Not only did they serve other gods, but they started doing stuff they had no business. Mm-hmm. We live in a day now where you see stuff happening that you wouldn't have thought. And I'm talking about from church folk. So we do stuff that we wouldn't have been caught doing 20 years ago. Now, why you wait till now to start doing it? When you got saved, before you got saved, you ain't even do the stuff you're doing now. I'm going to go on and get through. I know y'all ready to go now. They did evil. The word E-V-I-L. Spell it backwards. L-I-V-E. They lived backwards. So when you do things backwards, opposite of what God wants you to do, you become evil. Evil backwards. Lived. Live backwards is evil. To live opposite of God is evil. Oh, my mercy. So they did evil, and you know what? It didn't say to each other. It said in the sight of the Lord. So what we do it in God's sight. And notice what he said, and forget the Lord their God. And this word forget doesn't mean that it slipped their mind. But what it means is that they neglected God. What it means is they intentionally forgot about him because they were having more fun doing something else. It means that they intentionally forgot about him and they put him in the back. And they never did think about him anymore. Because of their distractions, they begin to forget about God because they were distracted with marrying these folks. They was distracted with their ceremonies. They was distracted with their rituals. And, you know, sometimes we can get caught up with rituals. We can get caught up with ceremonies. We can get caught up with what the world is doing, and it look like it's so much fun, and it ain't hurting nothing. It ain't no harm in doing that. Ain't no harm in this. It ain't no harm in that. And that's what our children are doing now. They're marrying up with stuff that they don't even have a clue about the origins. And I always tell them, what about the origin of that? What about the origin of this? Why you got that on you? Why do you even know anything about that? I mean, I challenge them. I ask them. I say, you know, why do you have so many piercings? Why do you have all these tattoos? What does that one mean? What was I ask them those questions. Oh, this one means that. I say, how do you know it means that? You don't know. You just got some writing on you. It could mean, you know, I asked one girl. She had those Chinese writing, three letters. And I said, what does that mean? She said, it means this, this, and this. I said, well, maybe it means ketchup, tomato, mustard, and mayo. How do you know? You don't know. So let's look at the origin of it. Why do we do what we do? Are we villagers? Are we doing it because everybody else doing it and it look cute? We got to be careful here. Can I get one amen? All right. I'm going to get through in a second. He says, they served other gods, and Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God. And look at what they did. They served Balaam. They served the masters. In other words, the word Balaam not only means master, but it means husband. In other words, they married up to this, and they served. They did obey whatever these other gods wanted them to do. They obeyed the rituals. They obeyed the way they lived. They did what this other God wanted them to do. But not only that, he said, not only did they serve Balaam, but he says, and the groves. The groves, let me show you what the groves mean. The groves mean poles. Ooh. The groves mean images. Somebody got it. The grove means images. Not only that, but the groves mean stars. They serve stars, celebrities, superstars. Not only does it mean that, but it also means zodiacs, stars. They serve these other gods, and they let them guide their life rather than God. Who else can guide your life better than our God? The one who made life, the one who in there was no life, spoke life, and that became life. They serve these groves. Then it says in verse 8, the anger of the Lord was hot against them, and he sold them into the hand of the king of Mesopotamia, the Cushan-Sharathaim. He sold them into their hand, and the children of Israel served him for 8 years. Now, the number 8 means a new beginning. They served him until they got a new beginning. They served him, and God put us, he allowed us to go through some stuff until there's a newness in us. Until you decide, I don't want to fight with this one no more. I want to be new in God. I want to change. That's why, you know, we get born again, but we go out and do some stuff and we shouldn't do. And then we say, Lord, I just make me over. Lord, just make me new. God, change me. God, rearrange me. Help my mind. Help my heart. We start saying that over and over again. Some of us every month, we want to be new. Some of us every week. That's all right. At least you want to be new. At least you're tired of being bound. At least you're tired of being in captivity. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of suffering with the stuff that's in me. I'd rather be able to fight this thing. Come on and say man than to succumb to it. And so for 8 years, God let them go through. For 8 years, they had to pay tribute. In other words, when you serve, you had to pay tribute. What does that mean? That means that there's a tax you got to pay for being a captive. I wish I had somebody. There's a tax you got to pay when you're bound. And so when you're bound, the enemy take your stuff. When you're bound, you don't know where your money goes. When you're bound, he takes your health. When you're bound, he takes your mind. When you're bound, he takes your relationship. When you're bound, he takes your children. Y'all not with me this morning, but you can't afford to be bound because you ain't got nothing left. Since he took everything, give the rest of you to God. Whatever left, say, God, I don't have nothing left of me. I don't have nothing left going on, but at least I can give you what I got left. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I'm not going to be captive anymore? My eighth year has turned around. I've been going through this year after year, and I decide I need a new beginning. Come on and say amen here. And I'm almost about to close because y'all getting tired and sleepy on me. I see some of y'all eyes closing up. But tell somebody, wake them up and say, he about to close now. This is your part to say amen. And he said, and as the children of Israel, they were in their 8 years. Verse 9 say, when the children of Israel cried unto God, the word cry means that they got together and called together. In other words, they got in agreement. I don't know about you, but I need all my faculties to be in agreement. I need my mind, soul, and spirit to be in agreement. But I need all of you to be in agreement with me. There's power in the prayer of agreement. The Bible says, if two touching anything agreeing on earth, that the Father in heaven will perform that we ask. Do I have anybody in the house that say, Pastor, I need to pray in agreement with you. I need to pray that my finances will turn around. I need to pray that my children will turn around. I need to pray that my body will begin to heal itself. I wish I had somebody in the house that say, I need a prayer of agreement. They got tired of being captive, and they begin to cry out unto the Lord. They begin to send up the prayers, and the Bible said the Lord heard them. Don't you know that I don't care how bad off you are, that the Lord will still hear your prayers. I don't care how bad off you become, the Lord will still hear when you say, Lord, help me. When you say, Lord, have mercy, the Lord still will hear your call. Come on and shout yes in this place and give God some praise. They begin to call on the Lord. And as they called on the Lord said, I'm going to raise somebody up. And he raised up Othniel. Let me tell you what Othniel's name means. His name means Lion of God. His name means Strength of God. But I noticed something about Othniel. He was right there in the land the whole time. I wish I had somebody here. In other words, the strength of God is right there on the inside of you. The strength of God, the Lion of Judah, Jesus is on the inside. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. And he's down on the inside. The Bible says that great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So he's on the inside. You're looking for a deliverer? Well, the deliverer's on the inside. You quit looking for a man to come deliver you. And you need to cry out to God and say, raise up the God in me. I wish I had somebody that realized if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you got a deliverer on the inside. All you got to do is say, Holy Ghost, I need you to move some stuff out, and I need you to move some good stuff in. I wish I had a few people that say, I'm in the fight of my life, so I don't have time to play. I need to get with the Holy Ghost because he'll get me right. I wish I had somebody. The Bible says he comes alongside to help us do what we couldn't do. I couldn't believe God, but when the Holy Ghost came in my life, then I begin to believe that the Lord, that he can do anything but fail, lie, and die. Come on and shout yes. Come on and shout glory. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm looking for the strength of the Lord? Well, let me tell you, look no further, because the same strength that raised Jesus from the dead abides on the inside of you. Come on and shout hallelujah and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for strength. Come on and give God some praise. See, you need some strength. You need to be like Jesus. When he went to the crucifixion, they put a crown of thorns on his head, hoping that they can get into his mind. But he said not a mumbling word. They took a cat-o'-nine-tail whip, and they whipped him all night long, hoping they can get get him to succumb to them and say that he wasn't the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he didn't say a mumbling word. The gift of God that was on the inside, with every strike they hit him with, it ripped off the flesh, only to expose the gift that was on the inside of him. So whenever you're being whipped down, to say, I'm getting ready to let my gift be exposed. If they dig any deeper, if you hit me one more time, the gift of God is going to rise to the top. Come on and shout yes. But when they put him on the cross, he said, no man take my life, but I lay it down for my friends. My friends are in bondage. My friends are sick. My friends are confused. But I lay down for my friends. They hung him up. They made a mistake. They raised him up between heaven and earth, because he said in his word, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Do I have anybody?